1 sports site in the world.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Newton takes a knee. Seattle comes darting in, but it's over. The Carolina Panthers done. Up 31-0 over Seattle. Survive a furious Seahawk rally to hang on 31-24.
Welcome back to Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio. Glad you could be with us tonight. This hour, we are previewing all four teams leading up to the conference championship games. You heard it on WBT in Charlotte. The Carolina Panthers hang on and beat the Seattle Seahawks, setting up that matchup with the Arizona Cardinals for the NFC title. The Panthers went 15-1, led by Cam Newton, who had an MVP spectacular season. When everybody said, who are they going to throw to? They have nobody to throw to. Greg Olsen stepped up. The defense had been very, very solid. They were a playoff team last year at 7-8-1, but this time they really took care of business, getting the number one overall seed, again, at 15-1 on the season. Earlier this week, we spoke to Mike Solarte at Time Warner Cable on his thoughts on the Carolina Panthers heading into the conference championship game. The Panthers, like I said, got off to a quick start. What was the key in this game that allowed them to score so quickly?
Well, I mean, they really got off to such a great start. Their first play from scrimmage is a handoff to Jonathan Stewart that covers 59 yards. And that immediately sent a building that was ready to explode into full-blown combustion. I mean, the roof, if there was a roof on the place, it'd have blown off. And so they, you know, that's a huge momentum boost for them right out of the gate. They get the touchdown on that drive. Second play from scrimmage for Seattle. It's a pick six for Luke Kuechly after Kawan Short almost had a sack. And in 3.5 minutes, they're up 14-0. And so right there, you know, there's all this talk in locker rooms every week about starting fast. Well, you can't start any faster than that. And unless you run back a kickoff, but it's just, you know, that was the catalyst, and they just kind of kept rolling. And Seattle, they didn't have an answer in that first half. They didn't know how to stop Carolina. They couldn't get their offense really moving, and they put together a drive, the Seahawks did, just before the half, that led to a field goal attempt from 55 yards. And they missed the field goal, but on that drive, Seattle found something, I think. You saw the ball coming out from Russell Wilson's hand much faster than most of the first half. And they stayed with that in the second half, and they were able to, you know, pick up big chunks, you know, big chunk plays that ended up going, you know, putting points on the board in the second half. But to your point, though, your question, it was that first 3.5 minutes that really shot them out of a cannon.
Whenever I see a team that's got this huge lead at halftime, there's always a feeling like, oh, we'll just continue to do what we're doing. But they never do. They get conservative. How conservative was Carolina in the second half?
I don't think they were really conservative. I just think it's not a matter, they didn't really change the play calls. They just didn't execute as well. And a lot of that had to do with Seattle. I think Seattle changed a couple of things up and, you know, gave Carolina some different looks. But there were opportunities for the Panthers to pick up, you know, chunk plays or pick up first downs, key first downs. They couldn't sustain drives the way they did in the first half. They did sustain one drive that led to nothing. They ended up punting it away, and that chewed up a bunch of time. And that really, in the end, is where Seattle just ran out of time. Because I'll tell you what, there's another 5 minutes on the clock after they make it a 7-point game. We could be talking about it. We may not even be talking. You might be talking to the Seattle guys tonight. So it's one of those things that you just look at Carolina, and I think they've got to continue to have that killer instinct. They've got to go for the throat and finish teams off. And that's been something that they've done at times, but they let big leads go against Green Bay, against Indianapolis, against the New York Giants. They won those games, but they didn't win them when they had the comfortable lead by putting the opposition away. And that's something that, quite frankly, they can't do. If you watched Green Bay and Arizona, no lead is safe, as Arizona found out, but they found a way to win in overtime.
Mike, you know, whenever a quarterback signs a big deal, there's always the people around the country that go, oh, is he worth the money? Is he an elite quarterback? And that conversation happened with Cam Newton. But for you guys in Charlotte, locking up a player like him seemed like a no-brainer. But did you think you had an MVP-caliber quarterback in Cam Newton?
When he was drafted or this season?
This season. Going into this season.
Going into this season, I think a lot of folks expected him to continue to do what he had been doing and improve on other things. I mean, he set a goal for himself to have a completion percentage of 65% or higher. And I don't have the numbers in front of me to know where he's at, but I don't think he was at that this year. So that's a goal that he didn't reach. But the things that he does with his feet, the plays that he extends with his legs, the plays he creates with his legs, He's taken his game to a level that a lot of us maybe thought he could maybe take it, and then he did. And he's continued it all season long, and he's just been I'll be surprised if he's not the MVP. I really will. All due respect to guys like Brady and Carson Palmer, guys who had big years for their teams, they didn't do what Cam Newton did this year.
Mike Solarte joins us, Time Warner Cable in Charlotte on the Carolina Panthers, who will face Arizona in the NFC title game. What is it about the Cardinals that for Carolina could be some trouble in this game?
Oh, I think their defense. I think that Arizona's defense has been very, very good all season long. And I know losing Tyrann Mathieu is going to be a loss for the Cardinals. I mean, it has been a loss. But they still find a way. I mean, Bethel and Peterson are still great corners. They've got a good linebacking core. They've got a good defensive front. I mean, they're very, very complete. But at the same time, Arizona, I don't know that they've played a team that is as diverse offensively as Carolina is. Even though the Panthers don't have that signature wide receiving core, you know, they don't have the breakout wide receiver star that you just look at and say, oh, you got to worry about him every time he's on the field. They do have Greg Olsen at tight end, and he's the go-to guy. But I don't know that Arizona has seen as many different looks. And the way Carolina runs the football, and that was something that a lot of folks may have overlooked today, is that Jonathan Stewart was 106 yards on the ground. He's the first 100-yard rusher the Seahawks have given up, I think, in 27 games. So the Panthers with Newton as their MVP candidate and likely winner is still the kind of guy, not steers the ship. I mean, he's the focal point. But the Panthers love to run the football. They live by that. Their offensive line group, I think, is the best that they've had in a number of years with the continuity they've had from the right tackle all the way to the left tackle. The running the football, I think, will give Arizona some trouble because Carolina likes to do it, and they like to do it a lot.
And again, that's Mike Solarte, Time Warner Cable. We caught up with him earlier this week on the Carolina Panthers, on that side of the ball from Cam Newton and the MVP season that they had against. You know, look, this is 1-2 in both of these games, and Carolina, as a one, was a team that, let's be honest, at the beginning of the season, how many of us really were buying into it, into what the Carolina Panthers were doing? We were giving them credit for going unbeaten. I think that was a given. But there was a sense, at least I had it, and I know we talked about this a lot in our top five, bottom five. How often did we go, Carolina, I need to see just a little bit more. I'm not quite there yet. And then there was that sort of moment where we went, you know what? This is real. Like they are very good, and they're not going away, and they're not going to fall apart. And Cam Newton is playing on another level, and they seem to know who they are and what they're doing. They're not buying games with luck where you just go, oh man, I don't know how they're pulling this off. The game against the Seahawks was interesting because they got out, they just exploded. Everything was going right. They burst out to that big lead. I knew Seattle was going to come back in the second half and score points. I just didn't think they'd be back in the game. So it caught me by surprise that Seattle made that rather interesting, where it got a little too close for comfort at the end. Look, I knew Seattle would score some points, but then I thought Carolina would score some points and then kind of put it away. But they didn't. I think this game, the looseness of Cam Newton, it's a double-edged sword with me when I got a quarterback like that. When I got a quarterback that is not nervous, is loose, is carefree, it's a double-edged sword with me. I want that edge. I want that sense of feeling like, okay, yeah, you know what? This is, I'm not relaxed. I'm a little tight. I need to focus a little more. But also, I cannot. What an advantage it must be to have a quarterback that is that calm. And coming into this game, and maybe it's all a ruse. I don't know, but I don't get the feeling it is. I don't. I think he doesn't. I think he understands the magnitude of it, and I think he's fine. I just don't think his personality is like. I saw it at Auburn, playing at Auburn. He looked like nothing fazed him. Played Alabama, beat Alabama, and that on the route to a national title, won the national title in a tight game with Oregon. I don't think this kind of stuff fazes him, but. Greg Olsen and the way that offense runs with Jonathan Stewart, that I think the running game could be the key in this sloppy weather in Charlotte. That could be the kind of X factor, if you will, in the NFC title game. If the weather is as bad as they're predicting, that could be the issue. But look, Arizona, if they get the kind of game from Carson Palmer that they kind of didn't get against the Green Bay Packers, their weapons are completely a threat to the Carolina defense. All right, let's go to New England. Earlier this week, we talked to Chris Price of WEEI.com. We'll talk to him about how healthy this New England Patriots team is and how they've done this for so long. That's next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
From the number one sports site in the world,
it's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Brady again takes the snap, drops to the right knee, and for the fifth consecutive year, the New England Patriots are bound for the AFC Championship.
And we continue to preview the AFC and NFC championships. The New England Patriots are now on the clock. Chris Price joined us earlier this week from WEEI.com. That clip you heard courtesy of WBZ in Boston on the Patriots Radio Network as they advance to the AFC title game after they beat the Kansas City Chiefs 27-20. Another Manning-Brady duel. The Patriots started off great, and everybody thought the Deflategate was going to be the revenge tour for Tom Brady. Then they met Denver in Denver and lost to the Broncos, followed up by a loss with the Eagles. They closed out the season with two more losses, losing four of their final six games. Then they got healthy. Then the playoff victory and the second seed in the AFC. That is the conversation that people are having now about this game with the Broncos. Outside of Manning Brady, it is the health of the Patriots. The weapons are back. Gronkowski is healthy. Julian Edelman is back. Sebastian Vollmer is back on the offensive line. The defense is better than people think, and they'll be going up against a Broncos team that just made a transition at quarterback when Brock Osweiler was running things. It's now back to Peyton Manning, giving us yet another Brady Manning matchup. As we said earlier, Chris Price from WEEI.com joined us earlier this week to talk about these healthy New England Patriots. So give us an indication, how healthy are the New England Patriots coming into the AFC title game?
I think when you look at the core guys that they really need, the guys that are difference makers, you're talking about Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, Tom Brady, on the other side of the ball, guys like Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower, those guys are expected to play. They're as healthy as they can be at this time of year. And I think that when you look at the guys who played in the November game for New England on the offensive side of the ball, they relied on guys like Scott Chandler and Brandon LaFell and Brandon Bolden. This time around, it's going to be Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, Danny Amendola. On the other side, the fact that they have Hightower, I think, who is one of their best run stoppers, I think, you know, that's going to go a long way towards shutting down what is developing a pretty good Denver running game. So I think when you look at the Patriots, they're as healthy as they can possibly be at this time of year, even for a team that's gone through some pretty serious injury trouble.
Of all the teams that the New England Patriots can play, the Denver Broncos come in with a very, very good defense. But Tom Brady and this team and the organization in the past have played and beaten some of the best defenses that we've seen in their long playoff history. But in terms of that game in November, was there something about the Broncos' defense that may give the Patriots some more trouble than we may think?
That's a good question. I think that when you look at the way the Patriots approach the running game, I think that it's my estimation they gave up on it a little bit early, but now you look at the guys they have back, you look at the personnel on both sides of the ball, you look at what Denver does against the run, I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots don't run the, you know, maybe run the ball 10 or 15 times this time around. I don't think that they're going to run the ball an awful lot. I think Steven Jackson has done as well as could be expected, which is to say he struggled at times trying to fit in with a new team. But I think that when you look at the Patriots, when you look at what they do well, and you look at the fact that they're able to get those guys back, I think that they feel pretty good about their chances. I think the one area where, if I'm a Patriots fan, it's a little bit of a cause for concern is on special teams going into this game. The Patriots have done very, very well on special teams over the years, but back in November, special teams muff, a fumbled punt by Chris Harper, really opened the door for Denver in that game. And I think Denver's got a really good special teams grouping. That's not to sell the Patriots short, but you know the Broncos at home, guys like McManus, guys like the punter Britton Colquitt, they're really, really good. And you know they went a long way toward keeping the Broncos in that game, the divisional playoff game against the Steelers earlier this month. And so I think that it's one area of maybe a cause for concern for New England. It is on special teams as well as, you know, what if Denver does figure out a way to kind of slow things down? So there's some there's some points where there's some areas of vulnerability, I think, that Denver could take advantage of in this one.
Chris Price, WEI, joins us as we talk New England Patriots as they get ready for the Denver Broncos in the AFC title game coming up on Sunday. You mentioned something there about slowing things down a little bit. Is that really the formula? If you're going to have, if you're going to beat this Patriots team, it's just keep Brady off the field as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I think that the Broncos, in a perfect world, want to have a relatively low-scoring game because let's face it, you know, frankly, their offense is not what it used to be, and so you want to limit the number of possessions that Tom Brady has, and you know, you want to be able to lean on guys like Anderson and Hillman, and you know, control the clock and control the tempo, and do your due diligence when it comes to keeping Tom Brady off the field for extended periods of time. Yeah, I think that the teams that have had some success against New England over the last handful of years have done a good job simply keeping the ball away from Brady. And when, like I said before, when you consider the fact that Brady is able to get Gronkowski back, Amendola back, Edelman back, all of those guys at relatively full strength, maybe the best way to kind of beat Tom Brady is to play keep away from, for lack of a better term.
You know, we talk a lot about Gronkowski and what the Patriots offense looks like when he's not in there. I want you to talk about Julian Edelman, because we saw this with Pittsburgh. It wasn't so much with Antonio Brown out that they were losing a guy that had good hands and could catch in good coverage. They were losing a guy that added something to their offense, even when he wasn't catching the ball. With Julian Edelman, what's the offense like with him compared to without him?
Well, it's completely different. I think that the numbers, before he went down, they were converting on third down roughly half the time. And then from week 10, he was injured roughly halfway through the week 10 game against the Giants. For the rest of the year, they were at like 30%. And so that right there should tell you something. Their points per game dropped. Their total offense dropped. Their passing yards dropped. The biggest difference, though, and this is kind of a roundabout way, you got to kind of follow me here. The Patriots passing game is really, you think of it like a watch. It's like a timing mechanism, and everything is dependent on everything else. The Patriots' strength this year has been a quick strike passing game to guys like Edelman, Amendola, James White, Deion Lewis when he was in there. It really hasn't been to Gronkowski. Gronkowski is obviously an offensive difference maker, but to have a guy like there, like Edelman, a trusted target where Brady can get the ball out in 2 seconds, it affects every single part of that offense, but it's primarily the offensive line. The offensive line doesn't have to engage those blocks as long in an offensive line that's quite frankly struggled at times over the course of the year. If Brady's able to get that ball out to Edelman in 2 seconds or less, I don't care if you have the reincarnation of Fearsome Foursome on the other side of the ball. It's not going to matter if Brady has the ball out in 2 seconds. So the impact of Edelman is felt across the board, but most keenly when it comes to minimizing any sort of opposing pass rush because of the level of chemistry between Brady and Edelman.
And again, Chris Price, WEEI.com, joining us to talk about the New England Patriots. One of the questions that I asked him was, let's be honest, when we look at this team, it's, you know, you're not supposed to be good for 15 years. You know, you're supposed to have ups and downs. No matter how good your quarterback is, you know, you're supposed to have moments where the defense is, you're getting rid of too many guys and it's just too much attrition and there's just a bad year coming. And maybe you make the playoffs, but it's at 9-7, or maybe you make the playoffs and it's a wild card team. But the Patriots have had a level of excellence that has been remarkable given the way this league has the salary cap and contracts come, and you got to get rid of guys, you got to add guys, and there's new faces coming in. And the thing that he said, which was impressive, was, look, it's not just Brady and Belichick. That's the simple answer. Well, they have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Of course they're going to win. He says they have Robert Kraft, they have solid GM work, they have Bill Belichick, they have Tom Brady, and the four of them work all together, and there isn't any disconnect in that stream of owner on down. They're all on the same page. And it makes things like the scandals that they've gone through a little easier to rally around, right? There's no throwing each other under the bus. They are united in their it being together. As people attack them and people demand answers, they are united in being together. Right or wrong, they are together. And I think that does say a lot as one of the reasons they're having so much success. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio. We'll look at the Arizona Cardinals next. Yahoo Sports Radio.
From the number one sports site in the world.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Snap to Palmer, rolls out, and it's a pitch to Fitz running straight ahead into the end zone. The shovel pass for the touchdown and the win. The Cardinals advance to the NFC Championship game in one of the craziest games ever. The Cardinals win it in overtime, 26-20.
That is KTAR, Arizona Cardinals Radio Network. They finished 13-3 during the regular season, and that was as wild of a game as I've seen. I had such a good time. I wasn't even sure the quality of play was all that good. I just had a great time watching that game. It had everything. A Hail Mary at the end. Larry Fitzgerald almost running it into the end zone. They score a touchdown, close out the game, send the Packers home. Carson Palmer was throwing picks. It was a wild game. The coin wasn't flipping. How crazy was it? But nevertheless, this is a team that is now going to Charlotte to take on the Carolina Panthers. They played the Panthers last year in the playoffs. However, they were down to like their fourth string quarterback in Ryan Lindsay. Lost that game. A feeling of, not really coming in with our best, but this year they are with Carson Palmer. He did struggle against the Packers. Will he struggle against the Carolina Panthers? We talked to Adam Green earlier this week from ArizonaSports.com, AZSports.com, on the Cardinals, and here's what he had to say about their chances in Charlotte. Let's get to Carson Palmer's performance against the Packers. It was a lot to be desired there. When he talked about it, was it a case of just nerves or jitters, or is that finger injury still bothering him?
Yeah, the finger's getting a lot of play, especially in the TV broadcast. They showed the cuts of the tape job he's had on that. And it's true his numbers haven't been quite the same since he hurt that finger in Philadelphia. But watching that game and having talked to Carson Palmer and listened to him talk about that finger, I tend to think it's more about the nerves than anything. Bruce Arians talked about it. He told us that Carson Palmer, when they picked their plays leading into that game, they script the first 20 or so. And he lets Carson choose them, and Carson chose a lot of more conservative, safer plays because he was a little bit tentative. And that's what seemed like to me for that game, at least the start of it. The first half, he wasn't quite himself. The second half, he looked more like Carson Palmer. But even the interception, the second one in the end zone, to me, that was more him just throwing off his back foot, which was his technique, and I think he was worried about the pass rush. So the finger might be an issue, but Carson Palmer says it's not an issue. Bruce Arians says it's not an issue. I'm inclined to believe them.
Arizona's defense has been very good this year, but Cam Newton is kind of a unique quarterback with the arm and the leg and the things that he can do. Does this pose a problem for Arizona? Are they pretty good against quarterbacks like that?
They've had middling success against quarterbacks like that. I mean, last week, Aaron Rodgers was a quarterback who could scramble. And what makes Cam different than any of the ones that they faced, outside of the fact that he's better than Colin Kaepernick, who they had a good time against earlier in the season, is that unlike an Aaron Rodgers who can scramble but is more of a passer, Carolina will design running plays for Cam. They'll drop him back and they'll have him with the ball with the express idea of running. Whereas the Cardinals used to have guys like a Russell Wilson who can run, but they'd rather throw. And, of course, Cam is better this year throwing than he ever has been, and that's something that the Cardinals are worried about. But, yeah, in terms of his running ability with his size and the way they use him, that's something where the Cardinals, you can't really plan for that. You can't really know how you're going to handle it until you face it. And they faced him last year in the playoffs. They were okay, but that was a game where things got away from them more because their offense wasn't good than because of their defense. So they think they're ready for Cam. They think they have an idea on how to slow him down, how to stop him. But until we see it kind of come to practice on Sunday, we'll have to just wait and see.
Adam Green joins us, ArizonaSports.com, here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we talk Cardinals as they face the Carolina Panthers. In terms of this defense, Adam, what makes the Arizona Cardinals defense this good and this strong?
Well, it had been their secondary and the depth they had, especially the safety position. You had Tony Jefferson, Rashad Johnson, Tyrann Mathieu, and then you have Patrick Peterson, Jerrod Powers, Justin Bethlehem corner. Now, of course, you lose Tyrann Mathieu and it changes things, and it's still a strength. You know, a shutdown cornerback like Patrick Peterson, Rashad Johnson, a very underrated part of the secondary, was tied for the team lead in interceptions this season. That's where their strength is their depth. And, of course, at linebacker, you have Daylon Buchan, who was a first-round pick last season. As a safety, he's basically been a dollar linebacker for them. So they're very versatile, they're very deep in the types of schemes and personnel they have out there. So that's probably what makes them so good defensively. Their defensive front, front line, their defensive line. There's some talent there. Calais Campbell, of course, is a Pro Bowler, but they haven't been quite as disruptive as you would hope. So the strength is the linebacker and their versatility and their secondary and their depth.
What I like so much about their offense is they have all these three wide receiving threats for Carson Palmer. Are they bunched up, Adam, in terms of importance? I mean, is there one guy that separates himself a little bit from the pack? Are they all pretty much the same?
Well, this year, Larry Fitzgerald has been definitely the number one receiver for them. When they need a big play, when they need a first down, they look for number 11. But Carson Palmer, the beauty of this offense is he's happy to throw to any one of them. And when you have Larry Fitzgerald, you have Michael Floyd, you have John Brown, Jerron Brown, J.J. Nelson, you have so many options where it's not necessarily dedicated to one person. So if, for instance, the number one read is Larry Fitzgerald, if he's covered, Crescent Palmer, I have no problem looking off and going to the second read or the third read. And that's what makes it so difficult to defend is when you have not just options, but very good options who are game-breaking type of players. It makes your offense that much more explosive, that much more difficult to handle. So, yeah, well, they definitely do have a pecking order, but it really just depends. It's kind of dependent on, you know, what the defense is giving them, and they're not worried about forcing it to one guy. Just whoever the open receiver is, that's where they want to go with the ball.
So how do you see the matchup with Josh Norman? Who does he cover in this Arizona offense?
That's a good question. Michael Floyd was asked about that. He said if he was Carolina, who would he have Josh Norman cover? He said he can go cover Fitz. You know, he's like, keep him away from me. But, you know, it sounds like from Carolina's side, they're going to be moving Norman all over the field. Cortland Finnegan may get some chances on Larry Fitzgerald. Josh Norman might be on Floyd, might be on Fitz. It just depends on where they line up with their personnel. So if you're Carolina, that's the one place where if Arizona has an advantage, is probably their receivers against Carolina's secondary, because while Norman is good, they don't have a lot of depth behind him in the secondary at cornerback, and that's where the Cardinals, if they can give Carson Palmer enough time to find those receivers down the field, he should be able to do that. So don't know who Norman's going to be on. He's going to have his work cut out for him as well the rest of that Carolina secondary, because, yeah, the Cardinals, you see them, their receivers are very, very good.
Again, that was Adam Green, azsports.com, joining us earlier this week on the Arizona Cardinals. And like I said earlier, these two teams met last year, but just different circumstances with so many injuries on the quarterback side for Arizona. But there are some guys, and you heard that in the interview, there are some guys that did play the Panthers last year that were in those playoffs. And yes, it was a different mindset, right? When you're going in with your fourth guy at quarterback, you're not looking all that good. But still, this is a game in which you've got two quarterbacks where you have this one guy that is pretty loose, and you have Carson Palmer, who admitted to some nerves in that playoff game against Green Bay. And like I said earlier, I like a guy that has a little edge that may have to be a little bit more focused, but I do like the way Cam Newton translates that feeling of nervouslessness, if you will, into solid play. I'm looking forward to this game because of the offense, not so much the defenses, even though the defenses are good. I'm really curious as how Cam Newton is going to be able to utilize his dual threat against that Arizona defense. The running game, I think, is going to be a big factor in this. And Arizona, as you heard me ask him earlier, I love to see where they're going to go offensively. They've got the multiple weapons on offense, Larry Fitzgerald and whatnot. And who Josh Norman has to cover in that, because that's the one thing outside of Norman. I mean, you might be able to tag out the Carolina Panthers and their defense. But I like Carolina in this game. I just really do. And I got a lot of respect for Arizona. This is a team that will probably keep this game closer and kind of close at the end. But I think the Panthers are just better equipped in this kind of game. At home, bad weather. I think they're better equipped here. You'd love to be able to use the sort of Carson Palmer's got a little bit more experience angle, but it's not the same. It's not quite. He hasn't had the kind of postseason success and all of that. And when you look at the Panthers kind of answering the call, and look, their only loss was to Atlanta, and they even admitted that this was just the carrying the weight of the unbeaten season on their back. But if you're looking for, in the NFC, if you're looking for the Super Bowl caliber team, these were two teams that we thought through most of the year were that Super Bowl level team that didn't need a lot of lucky breaks, didn't need to have something play out better than they were expecting. They didn't have a lot of injuries. They weren't plagued by those kind of problems. These are quality football teams that have been like this all year long. And I think either one of these teams is going to win the Super Bowl. Does that mean they're that good? I mean, you can't always say that when we get to this level. Sometimes a team is just playing on fumes. They get to the conference championship game. They've bounced around. They got some lucky breaks. They're maybe running out of time. These two teams are not running out of time. Coming up next, our final preview of the hour, the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning. Reno Nataro, Mile High Sports Radio, joins us, and we'll talk about them and their game against the Patriots next on Yahoo Sports Radio.
From the number one sports site in the world,
it's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
And this one is over at Sports Authority Field at Mile High. Peyton walks the football back to Demaryius Thomas. Denver wins it 23-16. They advance to the AFC Championship game where they will face the New England Patriots.
That is the great Dave Logan, the voice of the Broncos on KOA. So the Denver Broncos got the number one seed in the AFC. And if you remember, that wasn't all locked in at the end of the season. They were could be 1, 2, 5, 4. I mean, it was just crazy based on the seeding of the AFC. They had to beat the San Diego Chargers because waiting in the wings were the Kansas City Chiefs, ready to take over the division had they lost. But that game carried more importance to Denver than just getting a victory and locking up the division and the number one seed, because the Patriots had lost earlier that day. That last game in Week 17 against the San Diego Chargers changed the direction of this football team offensively. Brock Osweiler, who had taken over the job for Peyton Manning when he threw four or five interceptions against the Kansas City Chiefs, turned the ball over 5 times, was playing on a level that had everybody in Denver excited. And then the wheels started coming off, and the offense was stagnant, and it wasn't scoring, and it slowed down. They had gotten off to a very fast start in that game against the Chargers and then couldn't do anything. And then in came Peyton Manning, and the offense got a new life. Even though Manning wasn't throwing the ball all over the place, he got the offense moving, and the switch was made, and the team once again belonged to Peyton Manning, a 39-year-old Hall of Fame quarterback who had a bum foot. We head into the AFC Championship game with another Brady-Manning matchup, but definitely not like any other Brady-Manning matchup, given the what we're seeing from Peyton Manning. How good will the Broncos be? We caught up with Reno Nataro earlier this week from Mile High Sports Radio on the Broncos, and we talked about Manning and where he'll be at this game. What kind of Peyton Manning do we have here heading into Brady Manning 17?
What kind of Manning? We have a 39-year-old Peyton Manning. We have, we do not have the great, great Peyton Manning. And I think that's what's going to make this a very interesting game, and the Broncos are going to have to win it on defense.
There are a lot of people who look at this game and say, you know, I just don't see a Manning that the Patriots should fear. Is there still something, though, that they should worry about with Manning's game?
Are there things? Is that what your question is?
Yeah, is there still something there that people should be worried about, if you're a Patriots fan, should be worried about Manning's game? It looks simplistic, Renaud. It's just simple short passes and just moving the ball a little bit. Is there anything that he still has that the Patriot fan should be worried about?
Well, I think he's still very intelligent, so he'll be able to identify the Patriots' defense, but you know, his arm just isn't there. He's been throwing wobbly passes even a little bit more than he was before. But, you know, on the other side, not on the other side, but on the Broncos side, the receivers have to catch these balls even if they are pretty wobbly. I hate to sound simplistic, but he is older. And, but it's still Peyton Manning. He's still going to be prepared. He's still going to be ready to play this game. And, he's not going to throw downfield as much. It's still going to be a lot of dinking and dunking. But, again, he is more of a game manager right now. It's not a guy that's going to take over the game. They're going to try and run the ball a lot more. I would expect them over 35 rushing attempts. Really be committed to the running game so that Manning doesn't have to be the primary focus of the offense.
When you go back to the game that these two teams played, no Manning, it was Brock Osweiler. But defensively, the Patriots didn't have a few guys, but defensively, how did the Broncos handle Tom Brady and the Patriots the last time they played during the regular season?
Well, I think it's the same way they're going to have to this time, is pressure Tom Brady, try and get to him, try and knock him down, try and hit him, and mix up the defense. Don't play, you know, they can't just play zone. They have to play some man. If they just play zone, Brady will eat them alive. So they're going to have to mix that up a little bit. But that, I think, you know, it's pressuring Brady. You have to get to Tom Brady, because if he has time to sit back, that's where he will just destroy teams.
Is there any feeling with Julian Edelman back? And I know Gronkowski got hurt in the Denver game, so there was a part of the game that he was in there. But this is a different Patriots team that's a lot better than when they faced him last time.
Well, it is. You have Edelman, you have Amendola. Gronk will be there for the whole game. So, yeah, that's really the big question for the Broncos is you can't give the Patriots receivers the same amount of cushion that they gave the Steelers receivers. You can't play off the ball. If you play off the ball, Edelman will just turn around after one step and catch the football and then make a play. So they're going to have some press coverage, but there's a fine line. And you're also dealing with Chris Harris, who has a shoulder injury, has an injury, and how effective is he going to be playing man? It'll be interesting to see how much man defense Chris Harris is able to play, because he's going to be a big factor against that.
Mile High Sports Radio on the Denver Broncos. Interesting about Manning, though. I mean, it's not going to be a guy who's going to go downfield a lot. That's limiting. If they can run the ball, it'll help. If the Denver defense can play up to the level it's been all year, it's definitely going to help. But in the end, Brady has played defenses that are tough. Brady has matched quarterback to quarterback. When you give Tom Brady a healthy team around him, he rarely loses. And I don't think he's going to on Sunday. I hope this isn't the final game for Manning, but it just might be. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.